This is the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John chapter 20, commencing in verse 1. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went on and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That scripture that Bracken read, the gospel reading, is I wanted you to hear that scripture because it talks about two kinds of seeing. In verse 1, it says that Mary, in the dark, went to the tomb and saw that the stone was rolled away. And then she left that scene and ran in the dark to go get John and Peter and then told them that someone had taken the body of Jesus. Again, as we've mentioned before, she didn't go to the tomb expecting the risen Christ, as close as she was to him. And she had been the one who had prepared him for burial, but she still didn't get the whole resurrection part. She knew that he would die for her. He just didn't really get the whole new creation thing and is rising up for her and for the whole world. But she saw what she saw and came back reported. When John and Peter then ran to the tomb, and John gets there first. He peeks in, stops. Peter comes flying by him, goes into the tomb, sees the linen cloth, sees the face cloth, and then John goes in, and it says, and he saw and believed. What strikes me in those verses is there were two kinds of seeing. There was seeing what was obvious in terms of natural facts. Then there is the seeing that's believing. And based on the kind of seeing that you do will alter the way you view everything in life, particularly for those of us who are sons and daughters of the resurrection. This is what I believe part of what John saw. Remember, we've talked about this, I think, last week, is that even though Mary Magdalene and John, who had this unique partnership in terms of how they loved Jesus so fiercely, they shared a common honor by the Lord. John saw, believed first. She had the first visitation with the risen Christ. They, too, were at the foot of the cross, along with Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. But I believe at the cross, Mary was not prepared for resurrection. Her heart was just full of passion and affection for this one who would love her so much and love the world so much. He died, whatever all that meant. But I believe when John heard the heartbeat of Christ in John chapter 13 in the upper room the day before their crucifixion, he heard more than just affection. The heartbeat of Christ carried hope. That's always been the heartbeat of God. When the fall happened in Genesis and he gives the declaration of the gospel for the first time in Genesis 3 about the bruising of the heel and the bruising of the head of the serpent, that was about hope. He was declaring there's a redemptive plan, a Jesus who's slain, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God didn't wait for the problem to occur and then in panic try to come up with an answer. There was a solution before there was ever a problem. That's true about everything in our spiritual life. Any problem that you might ever have, whether it's temptation or situation or relationship, the solution in Christ is already provided. We have to start believing and seeing from that place. That's a seeing that's a believing instead of a seeing that's, oh my gosh, somebody's stolen his body. Both saw, but one was a seeing that was full of faith. The other one was a seeing that was full of discouragement and disappointment. It's a significant difference. John had hope, and so it was easy for John to believe what he saw because he was expecting new creation. Every good Jew who really understood the messianic hope knew that the Messiah was to come and to launch the kingdom of heaven, to drive out evil and sin, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to begin his rule. He came to make all things new and will be demonstrated in signs and wonders of newness happening where people got healed and got set free from demonic oppression and all those kinds of things. That was what they understood. That's what they were looking for. And so hear this. This is from Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, in verse 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." That's what John saw. "And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us." The horn of salvation is what? It's the word horn of wholeness. That's the word there. It's the ram's horn. It's the sound of the triumph, the victory of bringing about wholeness for fallen and broken humanity. That's the horn of salvation. See, what I believe when John saw, he didn't just see and believe that Jesus is risen. He saw everything that that resurrection represented, what the Messiah would come to bring. He saw a new creation where evil is defeated, where the power of sin's empire is broken, where humanity is made into a new creation, where death has been conquered, a whole new world. I believe that's what John saw, because that's what believing seeing is like. When we just see the, quote, facts in the natural, that's why we get into discouragement and frustration and fear and worry and anger, because all we can do is we're giving Earth's report about everything that's going on. John saw heaven's report. And because of that, I don't think he ever saw anything the same again. When they left that tomb, he and Peter goes back towards his home, has an encounter with the risen Christ. But John goes back. I can only imagine, I've often thought, as all the other disciples are struggling with believing that whole day, as even over the next days they struggle with believing. I don't think Peter does, but the rest of them do. Thomas finally does. But even then, some of them doubted. I just think John had this like amazing wholeness happening on the inside, that the world, nothing about the world was the same to him again. It didn't matter if he waked up, he woke up and the sun was out or the rain, it was raining. The whole world had changed. His whole world has changed. He knew he wasn't the same. He was still discovering all that that meant. For if any person's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things have gone, the new things have come, and you're forever discovering it. We'll be forever discovering. Every day we discover, but it's a fact. Do we wake up in the morning going, wow, it's a whole new world? It's not what the news reports to us. It's not what even some of our brothers and sisters tell us. I'm going to tell you the great conspiracy theory, and it already happened, and it worked. And it was the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, and evil's been defeated. He raised up a whole new humanity. The devil's been conquered. He was made a public display. It was a public display of his defeat. He was humiliated in defeat. It wasn't a close call. He says, "And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, to the oath he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies," as twice he says that, "might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, be called the prophet of the Most High. And you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of wholeness through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." I believe that John saw and believed. And as I said a few minutes ago, I believe that result of that in John's heart is as if we've had some amazing days here during the spring, just beautiful days. Perfect temperature, sky so beautiful, almost like autumn days. And I believe that in his heart, it was like that. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians talks about. That's a normal response for a Christian in light of the resurrection. You don't see anything the same again. You see everything through the belief that Jesus has conquered death. He's conquered the devil. He's conquered sin. He conquered the old self. There's been the launching of this kingdom, and he's ruling and reigning in this world no matter what your eyes may see. Do your eyes of your heart see and believe the truth? So am I afraid about what's going on out there? No. Why would I? Do I believe there are going to be challenges? It's going to be interesting to see what God does and how he does it? Yes. But I tell you who reigns. It's not the enemy. It's not coronavirus. It's not our government. It's Christ, the King, risen from the dead. I believe that's what John saw. That's what he believed. Believing, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing, but it's seeing things through the lens of the great victory of the finished work of Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.